everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne and I'm... Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Lessons Learned, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne and I am your head coach at Grace Financial Coaching. And I am honored to have my friend Amy Green with us today. Amy is the chief everything officer at Amy Green Financial Coaching, aren't we all? And I can't wait to hear about the dumbest thing she's ever done with money. But first, Amy is a very highly sought after financial coach and speaker. She thrives on deep personal and financial transformation of her clients. Over the last 4 years, Amy has coached many clients to change their mindset, behaviors, and beliefs so they can live and leave a lasting legacy. Amy is a wife, a mom of two beautiful daughters who we were just talking about, and a leader in her community of Red Bank, New Jersey. Hi, Amy. What's going on?
Hey, Suzanne. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear about the dumb things you've done with money. But first, tell us and our audience about your coaching practice and how you help people.
Yeah, so I specialize in one-on-one coaching. So I'll work with an individual or a couple one-on-one to help them learn how to manage their money. So it's not necessarily about how much you make, but what you do with it. So learning how to manage your money on a day-to-day basis, from budgeting and getting out of debt to building wealth, saving, and everything else in between. How to have a fully a well-rounded financial plan in terms of all aspects of what that means. And so we really dive into what's led them to this place where they're at now, but then we focus on the future and how do we change our behaviors, our mindset, and then our beliefs about money and ourselves so that we can get to this place of being at peace with money, to being to find the your definition of financial freedom, what that looks to you, what that looks like to you.
What, tell me about, if you can, anecdotally, a client, you don't have to name them, where you saw a major mindset shift during the time you were working with them.
Right. So I have, I had a client who had been divorced for several years and was single mom of twin teenagers. Oof. And she had had a lot of money trauma and shaming in her life. And so she was playing the ostrich. She just wanted to stick her head in the sand. Bills just not opened, piled up on her table. One issue, like we just took it piece by piece because she wasn't someone that I could just, you know, oh, go create a budget and, oh, just open up all your mail. No. She would get like she would have panic attacks. So we just took one thing. She had one issue, one debt was her big, I don't know, the biggest pain point for her. And it was Easy Pass. And what? It was easy. It was New York, but it was New York. And so there's New York and there's New Jersey, and the New York side, she had been in violation. So when she would go home to Staten Island, she would get hit with the toll and a $50 per trip violation. So her bill had grown to like $1,700 or $1,800. It had been over the course of many years because it happened during the divorce and she just ignored it. And just dealt with it. And just, it was like, and she would go and pay a bill once in a while and throw them like $50 or $75. But I was like, let's just do this. Let's just really stop and look at our budget and where's our money going? And let's just stockpile some money because we just need to pay them off in one fell swoop. They're not going to take a payment plan.
Right.
And so we did. And she was able to, within like the first month or month and a half, save up enough money to just pay them off. And I will tell you, that just by meeting her where she was and to affirm like what she had done in the past was okay. She did the best she could with what she knew and what she had at the time. And, you know, and then here we are, we're cleaning this up. We're going to clean up one thing. We spent a full session. We spent probably two sessions on Easy Pass, but then she paid it off and we paid it off together online, together on Zoom. And she did this happy dance I've never seen any client do. And, you know, but by allowing her to be where she's at, to acknowledge the feelings she's feeling, the immense guilt, the shame, the past trauma with money, and allowing her to just vent her feelings and what's happened in the past so that we can clear that up and clear out this one debt that was just like this nasty reminder of all the things that had gone bad. You know, let's kick it out. Even if it wasn't the smallest debt, whatever, I was like, this has got to go. And so she was just, after that, I allowed her to own her money. She got to decide, like she chose to then get a monthly security system. Like, she's going to pay, I don't know, $50 a month for a security system. Everyone around her is like, well, that's stupid. That's a waste of money. And I was like, you do what you need to do. If that's important to you, it goes in the budget. And now maybe you're not eating out as much, but this is important. So you're going to balance it. And for her to have that freedom to say, this is what's important to me, and to own it, was life-changing.
I love that so much. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Easy pass. Let me tell you, I have Amy and I work in similar regions of the country, and I have lots of New York clients. And I went through a period where I think it beginning of the second year of COVID, every single one of my New York clients was getting hit with some sort of easy pass violation, parking ticket, moving violation. I was like, oh, it looks like the city needs money again.
Oh my gosh. It was what's so crazy.
Six meetings in a row of just, I got a ticket. I got a parking ticket. I didn't stop at a stop sign. Like, it just kept going and going and going. Wow. And I was like, what is going on? And then it slowed down, which led me to believe it was being done on purpose.
That is so fascinating, because you have clients more on the Long Island side and more of New York City. I have clients on the Jersey side. And for us, I was like, we're saving. Like, people are shocked when I tell them, we would budget $125 a month for Easy Pass. I have clients who budget $400 based on where they're traveling to. And when everything kind of shut down, I was like, let's save that money. Everyone was saving it. So that's interesting that they
once the cities and once the offices in New York City shut down, I will tell you, a lot of my clients saved on their monthly Long Island Railroad pass, which is around $400 a month now. And I can't even imagine.
Oh yeah.
Growing up, it was $200, and now it's double.
I used to pay. Double. Yep. We live right by the train station for Jersey Transit. I used to pay $414 a month back then, around 2009, 2010. Oh. And then I stopped into it. And so now it's even more than that.
Yeah.
It's adequate. It's insane.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So one of the things that, I like to, so obviously that anecdote that you gave us about your client with the racking up of the $50 every single time they use the Easy Pass, that would probably be their dumbest thing they've ever done with money. Right. But Amy, what is your dumbest thing that you've ever done with money? Let's hear it from a financial coach.
Yeah. I know. So this is all before I learned what I know now. So we're going back in time, and back in 2006, 2007, a lot of people I knew were buying apartments or houses or condos or something. And I had a girlfriend in Jersey City, and she was very into real estate. And I had been interested in looking at places in New York, but there's so many. I was living in Astoria at the time and working in Manhattan. And to buy a condo or a co-op, it's co-op. And so it's just an interesting division of space in a building. But the co-op fees were what I was paying in rent. And so, when you look at sometimes they're called HOA fees, but in some of them they're co-op fees. And that includes, the services to the building and the taxes and you might be paying one water bill for the whole building or, snow removal, trash removal, that kind of stuff. But it was so much money. I'm like, that's crazy. But then looking in Jersey City, my girlfriend and I were the taxes were lower, the HOA fees were lower.
Right.
Things were more affordable. So I got into a building that my girlfriend sent me a link to, and they were getting it out. It was 8 units. They gutted it out and they renovated it. And so it was beautiful. And I got to pick everything. So I kind of got swept up into the housing market and the desire for ownership at the time, and signed the contract in 07. And where the condo was located, it wasn't the nicest part of Jersey City. And that's why it was affordable. There really wasn't a lot of services. There was not a grocery store that was close by. There weren't a lot of restaurants. The closest was a McDonald's. And it was just, that was it. It was just a different neighborhood, but the unit itself was beautiful. And I got sucked to it and decided to go for it. So I bought this condo. Luckily, I listened to my intuition and my parents and bought the smaller one. I was approved for $1 million. And I was making $70,000. I was not making a lot of money, but they would approve you for this huge amount. So back then, pre 2008, I could have gotten a bigger unit, and you can build a wall, you can get a roommate. I was this just sounds too risky. Yep. So luckily I was, so the smart thing I did was get the 30-year fixed and went with the smallest unit in the building. And it was, so I spent $250,000 on the unit. Why it was stupid was I only put 5% down, but I ended up having two mortgages on it. So I had the primary, the 80% one, and then I had the secondary, which was at a much higher interest rate, like 7.5% or something.
Wow.
And so I had the two mortgages, and then I paid the taxes separately. And I paid the HOA fees separately. And so it was a lot of money per month, you know, and I don't even remember what percentage of my monthly take home it was at the time, but like ideally nearly doubled my living costs because I was paying $1,100 a month in Queens. And I went to like, I think it was like $2,000 or close to $2,000 a month. And so, you know, it would have been, would it have been okay? Probably. But what happened is life happens. I met my husband. And I will say I probably wouldn't have met my husband if I didn't live in Jersey City because he's from New Jersey. So there's like this, he's from like down here by Red Bank. So like I probably wouldn't have met him if I was still in Queens. Right. And so, you know, to the, I what happened was I signed the contract in 07. We closed in May of 08. I closed in May of 08.
Oh no, and you closed in 2008.
Yep. And then October of 2008. That's what happened. And so all of the plans to gentrify and make the area in which I bought nicer got put on hold, canceled, paused, whatever you want to call it. So then, of course, the neighborhood's not doing anything. I meet my husband in early 09. I moved down to Red Bank in 2010 before we get married. And now I have this condo that literally was worth, I mean, it was worth less than what I owed.
Right.
So it was so underwater. I would have had to pay like $50,000 to get rid of it. I would have had to like pay money to get rid of it. So we rented it out. And at the time, rent wouldn't cover both mortgages. Oh, so we lost money for years on it because the rent that I could charge, I couldn't charge $2,000 for that in that neighborhood. So the rent I could charge for it, just, it didn't cover all of the expenses. So I kept a spreadsheet in my accountant and we just kind of like depreciated it, whatever. But we lost money every month. Yeah. Every month we were just losing. And that number kept getting smaller over the course of time. But it wasn't until I found the Dave Ramsey plan, which started the whole debt-free journey for us and our financial turnaround, that I was like, we have to sell it. We have to sell it. Like, just we get rid of it. And we tried twice. The second time we did sell it. The first time that real estate agent was not good. So there's a lot of lessons here about like hiring the right real estate agent and making good decisions with it. And, you know, we just couldn't sell it the first time around. He kept saying, lower it. And I was
let me pause there for a second. If you could go back and not hire that first real estate agent, or what would you have done differently before you brought in that first real estate agent? Because I literally just had a conversation yesterday with somebody about how I interviewed 6 real estate agents before we sold my dad's house on Long Island last year. And so I interviewed them all in 2020. We sold the house in 2021, but people thought I was crazy, including my siblings. We were responsible for selling the house. I interviewed 6 real estate agents, but again, that's after knowing what I know now. So go back to that first real estate agent. What takeaways did you get there?
So, one takeaway is to definitely meet with more than one. So I just walked into like a Weichert agency and said, all right, I need to sell my condo. And, you know, they probably sent me their most newbie agent and he did comps that weren't quite great comps and was like, oh, you could sell it for this price. And I was like, we were like seeing dollar signs. We're like, no way. And, you know, and so it's like, oh, listed this price. And then he and my tenant at the time, not sure where the problem lied. It's probably in both of them, but they were not communicating well and they weren't communicating with me. And so there was some issues with that as well. Like, oh, well, like, I'm like, what's going on? What's happening? Didn't you do an open house? Well, no, we didn't do that open house because your tenant wouldn't let us in. And so like, it was like this, he said, she said nonsense between them. And so I would have definitely have met with several other agents to find out how do you work when you want to sell a property that's an investment property. You want to keep your tenant because their lease is not expired yet. And you got to work around the tenant being flexible with people walking in and seeing this place.
Sure.
So the next time we did it, we actually went through the Ramsey trusted real estate agents and found this guy who was, I mean, he was incredible. And he came to the to the condo. We met with our tenant. The tenant at the time we had was fantastic. He was hardly ever home. He was like, yeah, come on in. Like, do whatever you need to do. He was great. And we were able to sell to a cash buyer investor who kept my tenant. And so it was different. So like, I'll tell you that today we just spent time a couple of interviewing 5 real estate agents because we are now looking to get a bigger house.
Right.
And so we interviewed 5 people. Everyone thinks we're crazy, right? Like, yeah. So we interviewed 5 different agents. We finally settled on one, but it's going to be a bigger, it's this complicated housing market of this house will sell in like 2 seconds, but
right.
Finding the next one is going to take a long time. And so how do we work with this contingency where I am not moving to a rental and we're not moving my family twice?
No,
so we've got to make this work somehow. And so, yeah, I want someone who's really experienced, who knows me very well, who gets me, who I can text and call at all hours, who is going to fight for us and know what we want. Like, and so I think we found the right person to help us. And so that's
awesome.
That's key, is finding the right agent.
Sure. Yeah. I think people downplay how important that is for a real estate agent. I also find it to be very important for an insurance agent. And I find it to be just as important as interviewing a therapist. If you've ever gone to therapy, if you've ever gone to marriage counseling, whatever it is, if you have the wrong counselor or the wrong therapist, you're not going to get very far, right? And case in point, if you have the wrong real estate agent, you're not going to get very far. And I think your issue today is so interesting because of the market we're in, right? We're recording this in March of 2022 and everyone's finally coming out of COVID and people are talking about World War III and it's crazy right now. I can't wait to watch this in 6 years and be like, what the heck was I talking about?
Yeah.
And and so right, you guys could put up a for sale sign in your driveway tomorrow and be done with it. But moving forward, you have to find the house you want to move into and you have to pay what you want for it, because like, I'm sure you guys can find lots of houses you want to move into. They're going to be $1 million.
They are. And that's the thing. They're either like 500. If they're at our price point, they need a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them, I'm like, I don't know if I could even live in that while we fix it, you know? And so some of them just really are dated or old. And then if they are moving ready, they're like $1 million+. And so it's just this, like, we're just kind of waiting to see if more inventory goes to the market and what we can find. And it's also where do we want to be? Because, you know, we can move all these little towns over. And there's certain places in New Jersey we don't want to be. There's certain places we'd rather be, but then taxes are high. So like, there's a lot of factors that go into this.
Yeah.
For sure.
And everybody struggles with that, especially with like school districts and stuff like that. You can be in a great school district, but the one right next door might not be, the one high school next door might not be so hot. So it's a struggle. And I think anybody who finds themselves in a position, not only who wants to move right now, but can move, you know, financially speaking, like you guys, it's a struggle right now. So, Abby says, good morning. Good morning, Abby. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Abby.
So let's go back to the condo. Mm-hmm. If you could go back in time, back to 2006, what would you change about the whole initial condo situation?
So I would not have bought it.
You wouldn't have bought it at all.
I mean, period. Now, obviously, like, buying it led me to meet my husband because, you know, just geographically it opened up the world to New Jersey. But I would have done something. I would have probably done something different. I probably would have left the area completely at some point. Like, I just would have moved out of the New York area. But probably I would not have bought it. I just would have waited. I would have waited until I had 20% down. I would have waited till, you know, knowing that the payment would be a reasonable expense in my budget and not, I don't even know what percentage it was at the time. I'd have to go back and, like, I don't know if I could even dig up what my, you know, paychecks were. But I would have waited, and that just would have just been a key, you know. I would have learned to live on a budget and save up intentionally for a down payment. Like, I would have done things so much different in order to make that work and not have 2 mortgages on it. And then they stuck with, like, forced to rent it out, being a landlord.
And you were lucky that you had a good tenant, right? I mean, oh my God, I was literally just talking to one of our colleagues last week, and he's helping a friend renovate a rental property, and the tenants destroyed it. They just destroyed it. It's done. Like, you cannot, they could not move someone in immediately after too much work had to be done. It's horrible.
It is horrible.
What would you say to somebody today? So I'm not going to ask you how old you were in 2006, but it was pre-marriage and pre-children, but it was after college. So what would you say to someone in that, male or female, in that age range right now, who is being pressured by someone in their family, by a friend, to buy right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, if the pressure is coming from someone outside of yourself, then are they helping you make the payments? Because if they're not, they have no say in what you do, you choose to do with your money. And so I am a firm believer in healthy boundaries, in firm boundaries with, you know what, like, it's kind of like when you get married, the minute you get married, your family's like, when are you having kids? Like, when do you want to? Like, when God tells us it's going to happen, like, it's not up to you to tell us to have kids. And so it's the thing is with your money. It's really just looking at all of the options, being intentional, smart with it, and doing things that seem super conservative, because at the time it will feel ridiculously conservative. But when you look back, you'll be like, oh, thank God I was that smart. Right. Because right. Sometimes we allow our emotions to dictate what we do with our money, and our emotions are insane. And so, you know, our emotions don't lead us well usually. So just take a deep breath. If you want to ask a question to someone, like you've got financial coaches, you've got Suzanne, you've got me, we've got a lot of other coaches out there who can guide you in a way that is going to be smart. You might not like it because you're going to have to wait. I mean, we have lived in this house. We've got two kids. It's two bedrooms. They share a room and it's small. But, you know, that time buys you options. It gives you patience and it right. buys you options. We couldn't buy a house in 2020 when the market was going really bonkers, you know, and even in 2021, it didn't slow down really. And it still hasn't gotten too crazy, but at least now there's not these, like, people are paying $100,000 over ask. Like, those things have slowed. So hopefully we can get in and not get into a crazy bidding war. But it's that time just buys you so much more, more security in the decision that you're making. Yeah.
And you made a point without actually saying it out loud. The bidding wars are slowing down. Mm-hmm. Well, why is that happening? Because the people who were on the cusp of being able to buy that $1 million house. And yes, guys, I know a lot of people are watching this in different areas of the country. We are talking about $1 million houses in New Jersey.
It's a real thing.
$1 million houses.
four bedrooms, like 2,000 square feet. They can be $1 million.
I'm going to send Amy the Zillow listing for my house after we're done with this, and she's going to cry.
Oh, no, I know. I get it from my parents live in Georgia. I get it all the time.
It's crazy. But you made this point without saying it out loud. Why are the bidding wars are starting to slow down? Well, why are the bidding wars starting to slow down? Well, these people who were, we got to buy a house in 2020 and 2021, groceries are going up. Gas is going up, particularly this week that we are recording this. Those people who thought they were in a good situation a year ago, it's not looking so hot now. And so what that's done is that will remove those people from the bidding wars, but it will leave Amy and her husband still standing there because they didn't overreact over the last 2 years. They stuck with their plan over the last 2 years. And now you guys will be one of those three people bidding instead of one of those 23 people bidding.
Yes. Yes. And I think also with the interest rates, the threat of the interest rates inching up, that's going to pull people out of the market as well. They're going to wait.
Exactly. Well, you guys are in a great position. And I know that you are also in a position to help other people get themselves into a better position. So if anybody needs Amy's contact information, it's in all the show notes, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. You guys just scroll down and you will find all of Amy's links. And Amy, I want to thank you for your honesty and sharing your financial blunders with us.
Absolutely.
Everybody, if you jumped in late, I saw a bunch of people sign in late. If you jumped in late, make sure to get onto the YouTube channel, check out the replay, and stay tuned for another episode of Lessons Learned next week. Talk to you soon.
Make sure to subscribe to the Grace Financial Coaching YouTube channel, and please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.